beautiful Lord, wonderful Savior, I know for sure all of my days are held in your hand, crafted into your perfect plan. You gently call me into your presence, guiding me by your Holy Spirit. Teach me, dear Lord, to live all of my life through your eyes. I'm captured by your holy calling. Send me apart. I know you're drawing me to yourself. Lead me, Lord, I pray. Take me, hold me, use me, Lord, and fill me. I give my life to the potter's hand. Call me, guide me, lead me, walk beside me. I give my life to the potter's hand.
Beautiful Lord.
Beautiful Lord, wonderful Savior, I know for sure all of my days are held in your hand, crafted into your perfect plan. You gently call me into your presence, guiding me. Your Holy Spirit, teach me, dear Lord, to live all of my life through your eyes. I'm captured by your holy calling. Send me apart. I know you're drawing me to yourself. I give my life to the potter's hand.
Yes.
Call me, guide me, lead me, walk beside me. I give my life to the potter's hand. I'm captured by your holy calling. Set me apart, Lord. I know you're drawing me to yourself. So lead me, Lord, I pray. Take me, Lord. I give my life to the potter's hand.
sing that again. Take me.
Take me.
It's our prayer, Lord. Mold me.
Mold me.
Can you use me, Lord?
Use me, Lord, and fill me. Oh, I give my life to the potter's hand.
Yes.
Call me, guide me, lead me, walk me.
We love you, Lord. Sing it again.
Take me, hold me, use me, Lord, and fill me. I give my life to the potter's hand.
Yes, Lord.
Walk beside me. I give my life to the potter's hand.
Take it one more time, can you? Take me, Lord.
Hallelujah. Take me, mold me.
Take me.
Make it your prayer.
Mold me.
Use me, Lord Jesus. Fill
use
me.
Use me, Lord, and
give my life to you.
I give my life to the potter's hand. Hold me, guide me,
Jesus.
Lead me, walk beside me, Lord.
I give my life, Lord,
to the potter's hand. To the potter's hand.
Hallelujah. Would you stretch your hand toward me today? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word. Your word is living and powerful. Your word is sharper than any two-edged sword. Your word heals and restores. It makes whole. It discerns the very intentions of our heart. And we're asking for the word, Lord Jesus, to speak to us today. Help us to hear and apply. Put it into practice, Lord Jesus. We don't want to be a hearer only. We want to be a doer of the word. So anoint us, Lord, as we come to the word. Every single person in this place, speak to them, change them, transform them. Lift them up in your mighty presence. We'll give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6. We're not going to read the scripture just yet, but keep your Bibles open or your Android or your iPhone, whatever you have. Some people have the Bible on their phones, and that's all fine. I just ask that you don't text during church and don't get distracted and get on Facebook during church and all that, right? We're on that stuff enough as it is, so why don't we take a break from all of that and focus and give God the rightful place of priority in our worship. I've been reading a book entitled The Circle Maker. Have any of you ever read this before? It's a powerful book. I encourage you to get a hold of it. It's a book about prayer, about circling our lives and circling the situations that we find ourselves in with prayer. And I want to open up by reading this opening chapter to set the tone for the message. It's called The Legend of the Circle Maker. As the story goes, young children danced in the downpour like it was the first rainfall they'd ever seen. And it was. Parents threw back their heads, opened their mouths, and caught raindrops like they were libations. And they were. When it hasn't rained in more than a year, raindrops are like diamonds falling from the sky. It would be forever remembered as the day. The day thunderclaps applauded the Almighty. The day puddle jumping became an act of praise. The day the legend of the circle maker was born. It was the first century BC, and a devastating drought threatened to destroy a generation, the generation before Jesus. We're talking about that intertestamental time period, that 400 years of silence between the Old Testament and the New Testament. The last of the Jewish prophets had died off nearly four centuries before. Miracles were such a distant memory that they seemed like a false memory. And God was nowhere to be heard. But there was one man, an eccentric sage, who lived outside the walls of Jerusalem, who dared to pray anyway. His name was Honi. And if the people could no longer hear God, he believed that God could still hear them. When rain is plentiful, it's an afterthought. During a drought, it's the only thought. And Honi was their only hope. Famous for his ability to pray for rain, it was on this day, the day, that Honi would earn his moniker. With a 6-foot staff in his hand, Honi began to turn like a math compass. His circular movement was rhythmical and methodical. 90 degrees, 180 degrees, 270 degrees, 360 degrees. He never looked up as the crowd looked on. And what seemed like hours, which had only been a few seconds, Honi stood inside the circle he had drawn. Then he dropped to his knees and raised his hands to heaven. With the authority of the prophet Elijah, who called down fire from heaven, Honi called down rain. He said, Lord of the universe, I swear before your great name that I will not move from this circle until you have shown mercy upon your children. The words sent a shudder down the spines of all who were within an earshot that day. It wasn't just the volume of his voice, it was the authority of his tone, not a hint of doubt. This prayer didn't originate in the vocal cords. Like water from an artesian well, the words flowed from the depth of his soul. His prayer was resolute yet humble, confident yet meek, expectant yet unassuming. Then it happened. As his prayer ascended to the heavens, raindrops descended to the earth. An audible gasp swept across the thousands of congregants who had encircled Honi. Every head turned heavenward as the first raindrops parachuted from the sky. But Honi's head remained bowed. The people rejoiced over each drop. But Honi wasn't satisfied with a sprinkle. Still kneeling in the circle, Honi lifted his voice over the sounds of celebration. He said, not for such rain have I prayed, but for rain that will fill cisterns, pits, and caverns. The sprinkle turned into a torrential downpour that eyewitnesses said no raindrop was smaller than an egg in size. It rained so heavily and so steadily that the people fled to the Temple Mount to escape the flash floods. Honi stayed and prayed inside his protracted circle. Once more, he refined his bold request. He said, not for such rain have I prayed, but for rain of your favor, blessing, and graciousness. Then, like a well-proportioned sun shower on a hot and humid August afternoon, it began to rain calmly and peacefully. Each raindrop was a tangible token of God's grace. And they didn't just soak the skin, they soaked the spirit with faith. It had been difficult to believe the day before the day after the day. It was impossible not to believe. Honey was celebrated as a hometown hero by the people whose lives he had saved. But some within the Sanhedrin called the circle maker into question. A faction believed that drawing a circle and demanding that rain dishonored God. Maybe it was those same members of the Sanhedrin who would criticize Jesus for healing a man's shriveled hand on the Sabbath a generation later. They threatened Honi with excommunication, but because the miracle could not be repudiated, Honi was ultimately honored for his act of prayerful bravado. The prayer that saved a generation was deemed one of the most significant prayers in the history of Israel. The circle he drew in the sand became a sacred symbol, and the legend of Honi the circle maker stands forever as a testament to the power of a single prayer to change the course of history. The circle maker. There are certainly numerous circle makers found in Scripture, but I want to draw your attention to one story in particular today that tells us of literal and spiritual circle makers. The story is found in the book of Joshua, chapter 6. But before we get into this scripture, I want to lay a brief foundation. Joshua is a book of victory. The Old Testament name Joshua, meaning the Lord is salvation, is equivalent to the New Testament name Jesus. God had called Joshua to take the reins from Moses and lead the children of God into the promised land. The Lord tells us in Joshua chapter 1, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving them to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your feet will tread, I have given you, as I said to Moses. Verse 5 says, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to your fathers. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may do according to all that I have written in the law. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. He said, I have given you this land. I have made you this promise. Now let's turn over to chapter 6, beginning with verse 1. The Bible says that Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. He says, I have given you Jericho into your hand. You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go around the city once. Then you shall do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the 7th day, everybody say the 7th day, you shall march around the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout. Then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, every man straight before him. Jericho was tightly shut up because of the Israelites. No one went in, and no one went out, and no one came in. You see, Jericho was the first city that they would face in the land that God had promised them. And Jericho was a great city. It was a fortified city. It was great in antiquity. It was a historic city. It had massive walls around it. And I have read that those walls were so thick that chariots could ride up on top of the walls all the way around the city. I don't know that for sure. I don't know that can be verified, but it's probably the case. All of us have had walls that stand before us. Walls that say to us, you could have victory if it were not for me. Walls that say to us, I will keep you from achieving what God has in store for your life. Walls that shout defiance and say to us, I defy you to bring me down. But like Honey the Circle Maker, we must be determined to seek the face of God and witness His intervention even when the odds are stacked against us. How many of you know that when the odds are stacked against you and it looks totally impossible, that is the time that you need to circle your walls more than ever before. That is the time you need to dig your heels in and say, you know what? God has called me to such a time as this to exercise faith. Faith, hallelujah. Faith is not some it's not some passive thing. Faith has always got action associated with it. If you're going to have faith, then you're going to do something about your situation, and you're going to keep circling the problem and circling the situation and remembering what God has promised to you. I don't know what your Jericho is today, but I do know that God wants you to have faith and courage to circle those walls and to circle those issues and circle those problems and circle those things that you feel like are insurmountable in order to experience victory in your life. I believe Joshua 6 can help us become circle makers. First of all, notice the priority of faith. The priority of faith. Hebrews 11 and 30 says, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. Their decision to believe God and march around the walls demonstrated their faith. Faith, nothing more, nothing less. But faith will bring those walls down. Faith through obedience, trusting God. And to be clear, once again, I'm not referring to a mental or intellectual acknowledgement. Anybody can say, I have faith. But faith is a substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. I've told you this illustration before. I can have faith that I can go over to that light switch, and when I flip it up, there's going to be light come on, right? That's not faith. Faith is when I actually walk over there and I actually flip the switch and the light comes on. That's faith. That's faith. Faith is when you do something about it. Faith is when you say, I'm not just going to talk about prayer. I'm not just going to preach about prayer. I'm not just going to teach about prayer. I'm not just going to listen about prayer. I'm actually going to practice it. I'm absolutely convinced it's not what we know that is so detrimental to our lives. It's what we know and do not practice that's detrimental to our lives. We know a whole lot. We're a knowledgeable people. But we need to start putting into practice what we know to be the truth. It would have done them absolutely no good in this story if they had just sat there and said, there's no way we can do that. There's no way that the walls are going to come down. I'm here to tell you today, you just got to do what God tells you to do, even when it doesn't make sense, even when you don't understand and you feel like God is nowhere near around, and maybe you can't even feel His presence. There might have been some days that they were walking around those walls and they felt like this is absolutely useless. I have no idea why we're doing this. But can I just tell you today, if you keep doing what you're supposed to be doing and you trust God in the process with all of your heart and lean not to your own understanding, you can know and rest assured in all of your ways if you acknowledge Him. He will direct your path. He'll work all things together for your good, because that's the kind of God we serve. We're talking about the priority of faith. In Joshua chapter 5, we find Joshua surveying the walls of Jericho, trying to plan a strategy. How will we take this city? And notice in chapter 5, verse 13, that Joshua becomes aware of the presence of someone else. Hallelujah. He's gone out there alone as the captain of the army. He's gone out when the others were probably sleeping. He's gone out in the quietness of the early morning, and suddenly he senses a presence. He turns to see this man, and in verse 13, he says, "Are you with us or with our adversaries? Are you on our side or their side?" In verse 14, the man answers, "Neither, but as the commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." Then Joshua fell down on the ground in reverence and asked, "What message does my Lord have for his servant?" This is the very first step of faith. Joshua was the commander, but there was a greater commander. Oh, hallelujah. Faith says, "I can't do this by myself. I must have you, Lord, as commander in chief." There was one who would give him his marching orders, and when he realized he was in the presence of holiness, he realized he was in the presence of the Almighty, Joshua fell down at his feet and worshiped him. Our faith comes alive when we worship. Our faith is strengthened when we come into the presence of an all-powerful, omnipotent God. You see, when you bow before Him, when you surrender to Him as Lord, then your problems are no longer your problems. They are His problems. No wonder He said, "Cast your cares upon the Lord." No wonder He said, "Roll them over onto me. Cast your burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved." He becomes responsible for the victory. Hallelujah. He becomes responsible for the walls that stand before you. So the very first thing you must do to activate your faith is bow before Him, the one who is the commander-in-chief, and make sure that there's nothing in your life that stands between you and the Lord Jesus Christ, and surrender everything in your life to Him. Someone has well said, "You'll never know Jesus is all you need till Jesus is all you have." You'll never know that Jesus is all you need till Jesus is all you have. How many know that sometimes the Lord has to strip some things away in our lives and help us to realize that He is our source, that He is the one that we truly need, and that we can't make it without Him? Oh, hallelujah. How many of you know that you can't make it without Him? The quicker you acknowledge that, the better off you're going to be. You don't have all the answers. You don't have all the answers yourself. But when you surrender them to the Lord, you surrender your questions to the Lord, and you surrender your heart to the Lord, and your circumstances and your problems and all those things that burden you down, when you put them all into His hands, He has a way of working them out. Notice secondly, the progression of faith. The progression of faith. Look at verse 1 again. Jericho was tightly shut up because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men." The number 7, how many know that the number 7 is the number of God? It's the number of completion. It's the number of divine perfection. They were to have 7 priests. And He said, on the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. And when you hear the sound, a loud blast on the trumpets, have all the people sound a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse and the people will go up, every man straight. And I'm sure to many these instructions seemed very strange and even foolish. But strange or not, Joshua had been around the block a few times. How many of you know that he had been wandering around in the wilderness with all of the stubborn and obstinate people? Right? And through experience, I believe Joshua, this leader, this experienced, wise leader, was saying, "Listen, I've been down this road before. Just because it seems foolish, just because this command seems strange does not mean that God's not in it. Hallelujah. Let's just do what God says. How many of you know that we just got to do what God says, even if it seems foolish, even if it seems strange? Hallelujah. We just need to do what He said. There are times when God asks us to do things that go against human logic, that go counter to human plans, that don't make any sense to us. But it doesn't have to make any sense to us if it's what God says. We just need to do it. If you want to walk in victory, then you have to walk in obedience to what God says, even if it looks foolish. Mark Batterson, in this book that I read just a few moments ago, he says it this way: faith is the willingness to look foolish. Noah looked foolish building a boat in the middle of the desert. The Israelite army looked foolish marching around Jericho blowing trumpets. A shepherd boy named David looked foolish charging a giant with a slingshot. The Magi looked foolish tracking a star to Timbuktu. Peter looked foolish getting out of the boat in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. Jesus looked foolish wearing a crown of thorns, but the results speak for themselves. Noah was saved from the flood. Walls came tumbling down. David defeated Goliath. The Magi discovered the Messiah. Peter walked on water, and Jesus was crowned King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm here to tell you this morning, faith speaks for itself, even when it looks foolish. Just step out and do what God's calling to do. You will never be able to walk on the water unless you first get out of the boat. You've got to risk looking foolish and feeling foolish if you want faith to be active in your life. Faith is a work in progress. God will test your faith by the yardstick of your obedience. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Right? And one of the most basic commandments that we're given here is just to simply respond to what God says with childlike faith and obedience. Even when it doesn't make sense, even when it seems foolish. I felt the Lord say to me early this morning as I was driving to church, I felt like the Lord said, I want you to get out. I want you to walk around the premises of this church this morning and just pray. Just pray. Just pray a wall. Pray a circle around the church. I'm here to tell you, it's time we start praying circles around our lives, around our homes, around our families, around our kids, around our circumstances, around our church. Start praying circles. Start praying circles. Anybody believe that God will bless when you pray circles? Hallelujah. I'm talking literally and figuratively and spiritually. Praying circles. Hallelujah. God will bless it, my friend. What if we had that kind of attitude that Honey had? I'm not moving from this circle. I'm not moving from this place until God you bless, until you pour out your spirit, until you pour out your power, until you reveal yourself, till you change me. How many know that God is not necessarily, He's not so much into changing your circumstances first and foremost as He is into changing you. God wants to change you. Yes, He will change circumstances. He will work miracles in your life. He's a miracle working God. That's who He is. But what it all comes down to, my friend, is God wants to change us from the inside out. He wants to start on the inside and change your being. We want to focus on doing, but God says, I want to focus on being first. I can imagine as they marched around every day for 6 days, and as they were standing up on looking over those huge walls down at them, I can just imagine the sneering and the mockery and the ridicule that took place. Oh, the great Israelites, where's your army? Where's your weapons? You're just a bunch of desert people. You've been wandering around for 40 years and you're just going to go right back to that same old stuff anyway. What makes you think you can take this place? It's impenetrable. You can't take this place. These walls are massive. You'll never take this city. And when our faith is put to the test, the question is this: will we continue to circle the wall and believe God will keep His promises? Will we continue to obey God even when it looks like nothing is happening? Oh, I've prayed about that before and nothing happened. I gave that to God before, but nothing happened. What if you were right on the precipice of breakthrough when you gave up? How many times have we aborted a mission that God has given us because we gave up too quick? I believe this is a word for us today. You can't give up on that child. You can't give up on that son or that daughter you've been praying for. You can't give up on that relationship situation. You can't give up on it. Why? Because that very next prayer that you pray, that very next one you pray might be the one of breakthrough. When the walls come tumbling down and victory is had in your life, I'm here to tell somebody here today, you got to keep on praying. Keep on circling the circumstance. Keep on trusting God. Thirdly, notice the persistence of faith. A great segue into this point. Verses 13 and 14, and seven priests bearing seven trumpets went marching before the Ark of the Covenant, blowing the trumpets. The armed men went ahead of them, and the rear guard followed the Ark of the Lord, marching and blowing the trumpets. So the second day they marched around the city once and returned to the camp, and they did it for 6 days. Why didn't God immediately give them the victory? Why did they have to do it 6 days and seven times the seventh day? Because God was teaching them the principle, I believe, of persistence. Jesus taught that same principle of prayer in Luke 18. He spoke a parable to them that men ought to always pray. Say that with me. Always pray. One more time. Always pray and not lose heart, saying, there was a certain city, in a certain city, a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. There was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect, who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? In other words, when Jesus comes back, will he find a people that is persistent in prayer? Because faith in this context is in the context of prayer. When he comes back, will he find a people that's persisting and persevering and is determined in prayer, not giving up, not being swayed by circumstances, not being swayed by what they see around them in this world? How many of you know we're living in chaos right now? It's chaos. But it's not chaotic to God. He knows what he's doing. He knows what's going on. It's that person who continues to believe, who continues to march on when everything is against you, when nothing seems to be possible. It's that person whose faith will bring down walls. One of the most important lessons I'm learning in my faith journey right now is this. And maybe this is something you struggle with, but I often get caught up in seeking answers. That becomes my focus. I want answers. But seeking answers is actually the wrong focus. I like how Mark Batterson says this. He says, if you seek answers, you won't find them. But if you seek God, the answers will find you. If you seek God, the answers will find you. We get so focused on the problem and on the circumstance and on the thing on the surface, the symptoms. And God says, quit focusing on all of that. Quit seeking answers. I need answers for this. I need answers for that. Why don't you just seek me with all of your heart? And the answers will find you. You will seek me and you will find me when you have searched for me with all of your heart, and I will be found by you, says the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 29. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Those answers you're looking for, they'll be added unto you. Those provisions you're looking for will be added unto you. All of your needs will be met when you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Today, if you are discouraged and ready to give up, don't do it. Don't you quit. Don't you give up. Keep circling those walls and trusting God to do what seems impossible from the human point of view. Let me just remind you of that wonderful scripture in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we even ask or even think, hallelujah, according to his power that works in us. I've got to say it one more time. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we even ask or even think, according to his power that works in us. He is able. Say that with me. He is able. Hallelujah. And lastly, and I'm moving along quick, notice the profession of faith. The seventh time around, verse 16, when the priest sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua told the people, shout, hallelujah, for the Lord has given you the city. Wait a minute, the walls had not fallen yet. What did they have to shout about? Because see, in our mind, we think, I'll shout when God moves. I'll shout when I see a change. I'll give him praise when my circumstance changes. I'll praise him when I feel better. No. He said, I want you to shout before you really have anything to shout about. Hallelujah. Anybody can shout once the walls have crumbled to the ground. Anybody can shout when they get a better doctor's report. Anybody can shout when that check comes in the mail and you weren't expecting. And you should shout. Rightly so. Amen. We should give him the praise and the glory for everything that he does in our lives. He is a good and great God. But what about when you're still, when the walls are still standing and your circumstances are still glaring you in the face? What about when you're facing difficulty at home, in your marriage, with your kids, or at work, or you're sick in body? The list could go on and on. That's when it's a true profession of faith. That is faith in action. True faith doesn't just celebrate once the miracle has happened. True faith celebrates before the miracle takes place. Because you know that you know that you know, listen, that God is going to deliver on his promise. Anybody got any promises from the Lord that you're hanging on to? Raise your hand if you got some promises. Hallelujah. Just keep those hands up for a minute. Hallelujah. You got some promises that God has made. Then I'm here to tell you this morning, don't you give up on those promises. You've got to praise God. Hallelujah. You've got to praise him for moving according to those promises and knocking those walls down in your life and bringing victory to you and to your circumstances. Hallelujah. This may sound sacrilegious, but stay with me for a moment. Sometimes you need to quit praying. Because after you pray through, you need to praise through. Matter of fact, prayer and praise go together. You need to quit asking God to do something and start praising Him for what He's already done. Notice one more time what the Lord said to Joshua from the very beginning. I have already given you the city. He didn't say, I'm going to give you the city. He said, I've already given it to you. I've already given you this land. I've already given it's already been promised to you. What you've got to do is get actively engaged and start circling around the promise and trust in me to do what you can't do. You can't knock the walls down, but I can knock them down through you as you obey me and walk in my spirit and walk in my word and walk in my favor. And anybody hearing me what I'm saying today? You got to walk in faith. I want to make reference to Batterson one more time. He says, prayer and praise are both expressions of faith, but praise is on a higher dimension of faith. Prayer is asking God to do something, and we should do that. Philippians 4 and 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. We should do that with thanksgiving. But listen, praise is on a higher dimension. Because praise is believing that God has already done it. Past tense. Prayer is something that you're asking God to do. Future tense. Praise is something you believe God has already done. Past tense. Hallelujah. I'm praising you right now, Lord. I'm praising you for touching my home. Touching my kids, touching my marriage. I'm praising you. I'm praising you for moving in my finances. I'm praising you. Oh, hallelujah. I'm praising you for working out this job situation. I'm praising you for moving in the church that I attend, that I support, that I love. I'm praising you, oh God, for the harvest of souls that you already said was ours. I'm praising you. I'm praising you for the new converts that are going to be born again in these altars. I'm praising you for the people that you're going to help me win out in the marketplace. I'm praising you for anointing me as I share my story with those who are lost. I'm praising you for boldness to walk in the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I'm praising you for bringing down the walls of darkness in my life, of breaking addictions and breaking chains and breaking the spirit of alcohol and breaking the spirit of pornography and breaking the spirit of adultery. I thank you, Jesus, for breaking the chains over my life. Somebody help me praise God in this house. I'm praising you now for a better spiritual devotional life. I'm praising you for the spirit of prayer to come over me so that I can once again march around those walls and circle them in faith, believing for miracles. You see, it's not whether you're silent or whether you shout. It's really about being obedient. Because for 6 days, they didn't say a word. How many of sometimes you just need to shut up? Right? You just need to be quiet. Because that's a form of prayer too. And then there are times you need to lift your voice. Hallelujah. And on that seventh day, that seventh time around, that was the time that God said, I want you to shout. And how many of you know that took some faith? That took believing in the promises of God. Believe in the Lord your God and you shall be established. Believe.
I told you this a few weeks ago. I felt like the Lord had said to me, I want you to tell my people it's time for them to believe in me again. To believe in the Word of God. Believe that if you begin to circle that thing, believe. If you just keep on circling it, you keep trusting God. Eventually, that thing's coming down. I said, it's coming down. Anybody believe that if you'll continue to circle? Well, you don't understand my situation. No, I don't, but God does. Just keep circling it. Why don't you stand with me? And in the spirit, I want you to begin to circle that thing. You've got it in mind. I know some of you are got it in mind. There's some things you've got in mind right now. If God doesn't move, it's not going to be done. And that's where the children of Israel were at this point. If God doesn't do this, it's not going to be done. But He called us to obey Him and walk with Him and participate in the process. And what we have to do is be willing to walk with God and what He says. We have to be willing to praise Him. Would you lift your hands and praise Him with me? Would you lift your hands and worship Him with me? Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Hallelujah. We need some I canners today. There's too many people today saying, I can't, I can't, I can't. We need to have the spirit of I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Hallelujah. Just a moment, we're going to pray together in these altars. Listen, the Israelites didn't conquer Jericho because of their great military strategy or brute force. They learned how to let the Lord fight their battles for them. And I believe God wants us to learn that lesson too. Because as you start circling it, you've got one that's fighting for you. He's working in ways that you cannot see or understand. Hallelujah. He's lining all the details up. And a miracle is in the making. They learn to let the Lord fight their battles. Drawing prayer circles is far more powerful than a battering ram. It doesn't just knock down the doors, it crumbles massive walls. And when I think back over the wall-shattering times in my life, they didn't happen during a planning meeting. They happened during a prayer meeting. It wasn't problem-solving that won the day, it was prayer-solving. It was when I got outside of the city walls and began to march around the promise, march around the problem, march around the situation, and believe God to do what only He can do. Anybody here believe that God wants to do something fresh? Glory to God. Hallelujah. I know this might sound crazy, but how many of you would come up here and just, as many of you that will, join me in this altar and just begin to go in a circle around that thing on your heart, just symbolizing, you know what, I'm going to continue to march around this thing. I don't want you to do it till you get dizzy and pass out or anything like that. Just go slow. All right? And just saying, Lord, I'm trusting You. I'm giving You my whole heart and my whole life. Would You come right now? Would You come? Would You trust the Lord with me? Come on. We said, well, that looks foolish. Remember what I told you about that, right? He told a lot of people to do some foolish stuff. If you want to, you can come up here on the stage with me. More room up here. Come on. I'm going to march around it. I'm going to march around it. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. I'm going to march around it. There's victory. There's some walls that's coming down in some people's lives this morning.